I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
It's been a long time since I came around. Been a long time, but I'm back in town. This time I'm not leaving without you.
Okie dokie. We're up.
We are.
We're live.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of. Kind of live. Live to tape.
Live to tape.
Yeah. And we don't edit, so I mean, anything could happen.
Yes, if you've noticed, there's been not much editing.
And I have noticed. Thank you. We are the picture of professionalism.
We are.
Thanks
That's
to your
us.
Expert producing skills.
That's right. That's why I'm here.
Oh, geez. Okay, so we should, I think we should be timely.
It's okay.
It's the friggin' holidays. We should probably say something, shouldn't we?
Well, yeah, there's a heck of a lot of Christmas parties going on.
My goodness, there sure are. Uh-huh. And we're all traveling and
yep.
I don't know. I thought we would go over the obvious here, people, just because we should. I mean, it's real simple. This is not a license to go bananas for weeks at a time. You should select a few days over the holiday season where you indulge a little bit. And it could be Hanukkah party or a Christmas party or a New Year's party or your work party. But I would say to you, pick one day per week of your holiday season and make that your woo, go a little crazy, get off the wagon night. But other than that, it's not like, oh, today at the office we got the tub of popcorn that's the size of a Buick. I'm going to go bananas. Or we got the basket of cookies. Or we got 5 bottles of wine from clients. And,
right.
You know, you really have to use common sense here. Because ultimately what it's going to do is it's going to make you feel like garbage going into the new year. I'm not a huge believer in a New Year's resolution. I think if you want to capitalize on the momentum of the fresh slate that January 1 provides, God bless. Jump on that bandwagon. Whatever helps you and motivates you to make a change, use it. But at the same time, I like to make resolutions now, 5 minutes from now, an hour from now, tomorrow, today, right now, in this moment. I don't like to wait for life to happen. I like to happen to life. So I'm saying don't go bananas. Be mindful. And here are just some simple tips. If you're traveling, travel with some exercise DVDs. Okay, stay on your regimen. So if you're going to a part of the country where it's freezing or it's cold and you can't go outside, you don't have a gym membership, bring some DVDs with you. I mean, my DVDs you can do in a freaking closet if you needed to. All you need is your body weight. And if you do need dumbbells for your exercise program and you're traveling and you don't have them, this is going to sound stupid, but use a pair of some bottled waters. You know, there are a couple of pounds. It's all you'll really need if you have a good exercise program that you're or DVD that you're traveling with. look to stay in hotels that have gyms in them. Be very communicative with your family and your friends about your desire to stay active, your desire to be healthy. Always contribute healthy dishes when you're going to a party or an event. When you hit the buffet, don't go to a party hungry. Don't hang out by the buffet. Instead, really focus on socializing family and friends. If you know there aren't going to be healthy options there, eat healthy food before you go so you're not starving. And there's a way to make just about every single dish on the planet healthy. You can make, instead of green bean casserole, lightly sautéed garlic green beans. You can make a whole grain stuffing and eat less of it. Have a baked sweet potato instead of yams with a dollop of Greek yogurt on it instead of full-fat sour cream. You can do a ton of different things. Make mashed cauliflower instead of mashed potatoes. Make fruit pies from scratch without all of the butter and all of the added sugar. Use the natural flavor of the fruit with a whole grain crust. I could go on, and I can't imagine it's that hard. Google healthy blank recipe, and I bet you 50 different options will come up. Seriously, make the effort. It's the effort that's so important. And here's another one for you, alcohol. Mm. Now, I want to address this one in general, not even having to do with the holidays. This always bums people's flow. Whenever they ask me, what do I do to get healthy and I want to lose my tummy or I want to get in shape, what are the worst offenders? I'm going to tell you one of the worst diet offenders is alcohol. Absolutely.
Because some people want to eat or drink their calories instead of eat them. So it's filling.
What?
Well, some people say I'm not going to eat that. I'm going to drink my calories. So they use booze.
Who says that?
People do.
What kind of people are you hanging out with?
Well, I don't hang out with them, but I hear about it. No, you've heard that.
No, I haven't heard people go, I'm going to drink alcohol for my dinner. What in the heck? Who are you socializing with?
Oh,
I think
honey,
we know how you spend your time.
No, I don't drink anymore.
Exactly.
I know. There are people out there. Are you kidding?
No, I don't know people that drink for their dinner.
No, I don't. It's not like a party favor they do. I'm going to drink for my dinner. No, because alcohol has so many calories in it, they will forfeit food.
Come on.
To drink.
No.
Oh, get on the bandwagon, Sister Mary.
What? Are you serious?
Did you just fall off the turnip truck? Seriously?
No, who does that?
It's a trend now.
What?
Yes.
You're too old to be talking about trend. Jake, is this a trend? Jake's is with old people.
Oh, you know what?
Uh-oh.
It's the biggest thing going down right now. That's I hear all the kids talking about it.
Drinking for dinner? Like, what are you having for dinner? Two vodka tonics and rum and coke.
Especially for younger girls. Younger, they say college-age girls are doing it all the time because they
are
know
you
how.
Serious?
Yes.
Oh, man.
So it because they know it's going to put on the weight. Anyway, I'm just saying that there's.
Wow. That's bad.
Yes.
Don't do that. Holy for schlugging it.
For old people.
No, that's a terrible thing to do. Well, then I think maybe you have a bigger problem than obesity.
Yeah, I think so. Exactly. You
know? Okay, for goodness sake, don't do that. Obviously. But also, as Janice said, alcohol has a ton of calories. So think about it like this. A small glass of wine, 4 ounces of wine, and when we drink a glass of wine, it's never 4 ounces. It's always 7 or 8 ounces.
Sure, the big goblets.
Yeah, come on. It's going to be 80 calories for 4 ounces, 80 to 90. You know you're having at least 6 to 8 ounces, so you're looking at probably 150 calories for a glass of wine. A tiny shot of tequila is 80 calories. Well, come on. I know when I have a tequila on the rocks, that ain't no shot. It's mm-hmm. at least 2 shots that they're putting on there, whether they should be or they shouldn't be, according to their boss. That's 160 calories right there. So not only, though, is alcohol high in calories, what you mix with it can make it that much more sinister. It's adding insult to injury. So if you have a juice like a vodka cranberry or a rum and coke, now you're adding sugar and additional calories to this mix, which is absolute metabolic disaster. Your metabolism, it is just going to crush your metabolism. And I want to explain a little bit about why alcohol is so bad. because 80 calories of alcohol affect your body very differently than 80 calories of chicken breast. In fact, studies out there will show you that for up to 3 to 4 hours after you've had two cocktails, your fat burning ability is inhibited by 73%. And here's the reason. Number one, alcohol is very estrogenic, and we have a lot of estrogen already in our bodies from xenoestrogens in the environment, soy in our food, plastics, cosmetics, all these things can mimic estrogen in the body. So we already are struggling with this generally as a population. Excess estrogen can contribute to weight gain. Alcohol also can release cortisol and inhibit testosterone production. Cortisol is a hormone that stores belly fat. Testosterone is an androgenic hormone that we as women also want, not just men. It helps us maintain muscle, boost our sex drive, keep our fat burning furnace up and running. And, okay, so when you drink, your liver creates a chemical called acetate. And essentially, your liver is processing the alcohol, and this chemical called acetate forms, and your body processes acetate as fuel. So you stop burning calories from your food and, come on, Jillian, from your food that you've been consuming and stored fat calories. So alcohol lends itself to fat storage for that reason in particular. So now you've got all those calories and the havoc that it's wreaking on your metabolism, your hormone balance. And we know that hormones and metabolism are what regulate weight, okay? Mm-hmm. And the third part of this equation is that when you drink, your willpower is out the window. I'm sorry. I mean, who hasn't? When you find yourself at a drive-thru, not a drive-thru, you should never be in the car, at a fast food restaurant or a diner or what have you, at 2 a.m, having a, you know, tuna melt or a thing of fries and a shake, who's doing that sober?
Yeah.
No, you're not. Or you're going home and you're making a feast of junk because you're wasted. And I know you've been there. I've been there. I was there too. Long, long time ago. And honestly, be real moderate with the alcohol. That's what I'm trying to say. And by all means, this is a real dangerous season. A lot of parties, a lot of things going on. Please don't get in the car. Please, God, please don't get in the car. Make sure that you have a designated driver. And if you're going to a family member's house or a party and you're too drunk, spend the night there. Go home in the morning. Make sure that you do not get in that car. I can't stress it enough. So enjoy the holidays. Remember that it's about celebrating the things you're thankful for, your family, your friends, your loved ones. Be smart with your food dishes. Put boundaries on the ways that you want to indulge so there's balance in your life. Continue your friggin' workout program, because although January 1st is going to be here soon enough, there's no reason to put on 7 pounds in the next several weeks. That just,
right, with January 1st in mind.
Yeah, that's going to bum your flow.
Yeah.
So use your common sense. Now then, what's now coming up next?
Myrtle.
Myrtle's coming up. Okay. So we've got Myrtle coming up next. Isn't she doing a how and if and when and how to fire your doctor? Yeah.
Hunt him right out the door.
Yeah, if you've got a crappy doctor or, you know, you're in the market for a new doctor, Myrtle's going to talk to you about what to look for, what to look out for with a bad doctor. Don't miss it.
So as promised, we have our dear, dear friend Myrtle Potter is waiting for her to talk.
Woohoo! Yeah. Myrtle!
Hey,
buddy.
There.
What's going on?
Hey, I'm doing really well. I can't believe it's December and the holidays are almost here.
I know it. It's wild. The whole freaking year just flew by.
It sure did.
Gosh, but what is so exciting about that is that you're going to teach us the 5 prescriptions for when and how to fire your doctor. Now, it is a bit of a non sequitur as we're talking about holidays, but you're going into a new year. So what I like about this is that as you're looking towards the future, you've got that clean slate, you're making your resolutions. It might be possible that you make a few changes, or it might be necessary that you make a few changes when it comes to your healthcare provider. And of course, my buddy Myrtle Potter is here to tell us about that. And before we get started, for those of you who are new, who are just tuning in, Myrtle, please tell everybody a little bit about yourself. And then at the end, we'll tell them exactly how to reach you. How about that, Janice? Sound organized?
That's organized.
Hey, thank you. I love it. Well, ladies, I have been in, and for your listeners, I've been in the healthcare industry for 30 years. I was really fortunate and had the opportunity to run a number of really big companies like Genentech and Bristol Myers Squibb. And I started the company called, what's now called AstraMerck. So, unfortunately, however, about 5 years ago, I had a near-death experience in the healthcare system that resulted in me almost losing my life at a very young age. And so I came out of that really committed to taking everything I learned from that experience and everything I had learned from all of my years in the healthcare industry to really pull it together and provide consumers with the kind of information that helps them really become the champions of their care. So this firing the doctor thing is really close to my heart because I ended up having to fire the first set of doctors who were caring for me when I became so ill.
Yeah. Yeah. I personally have been in a situation as well where you've thought maybe the advice you're getting isn't the best advice, but your insecurity really comes into play and you think, well, who am I to question this person? I've never gone to medical school, even though it doesn't ring true, even though it doesn't sound right, even though it doesn't feel right. And it can lead to some pretty big disasters, like you've just said, a near-death experience, for goodness sake. It doesn't get more scary than that. So, Myrtle, take over. Start now. Tell me, begin. How and when do you know when to fire your doctor?
So prescription number one really is so fundamental, and that is you go into the system knowing that you are the boss of your care. Even though physicians have gone to medical school and they've received lots of training, and even though most of them are really great and really brilliant, as was my doctor, every once in a while something will tell you something isn't right. And we're going to go through what those things are in a moment. But it starts with you knowing that you're the boss. And just like you put a lot of time into hiring a contractor or a plumber or a mechanic for your car, you're going to put the same kind of time into finding the right doctor.
Right.
And you're going to make sure that you feel comfortable knowing that you can question, you can push back, you can ask again if you need to. Number one is you're the boss.
That's so important. And to remember that it's okay to feel empowered. I hear from people often that their doctors can sometimes sound condescending when they speak to them or patronizing when they speak to them. And it triggers your feelings of like, well, I don't appreciate that tone, but what do I know? Or should I listen? So that tip of you're the boss is so important. And unless you get that feeling with your doctor, like they're in it with you, they're on your side, they're part of your team, keep looking. Right, Myrtle?
That's exactly right. You know, I like smart people, right? So I'm never going to have an issue with someone who's smart.
Right.
I'll even take a little arrogance. If you are really that good at what you're doing and you're making a big difference for me and we still are communicating and everything is going well, it's all good, but I've got a list of things that I rely on that really tell me, Myrtle, you know, let's rethink this.
Yeah.
And I want to walk through this list with your listeners. And I want them to get a pen and paper and write this down because I think these things are important. So the first thing to know, these are the things that you will know when it's time to go. If you see these things, you ask yourself the question, is it time for me to go and make a change? Number one, if your doctor's treatment plan isn't making you better,
yeah,
despite attempts over a period of time, this is the category that I fell into.
Right.
I was with my doctor. Not only was I not doing better, I was getting worse. And despite the fact that he was trying so hard, it wasn't working.
Okay.
If you fall in this situation, you've got to make a decision. You've got to find another doctor, get another opinion.
What's the time frame that you would allow here?
So, Jillian, that's a great question because it all depends on how sick you are. In my situation, I was going downhill fast. My decision had to be made in literally a matter of 10 days.
Wow.
In 10 days, I was in hospital. So I also have a sister, however, who's been dealing with an issue over the last year.
Right.
And she finally put her foot down and told her doctor she needed to make some changes and she needed to be more directive. As it turns out, we're trying to rule out a really rare autoimmune disease where if my sister hadn't pushed, she wouldn't know about this today. So every individual has to listen to themselves about when it's time to go. But if you've been working on something for a bit of time, if it's been a month, if you're really starting to feel badly or you're just not feeling better, man, I would go someplace else. I really would.
Got it. Of course. Get second opinions, third opinions, fourth opinions. And of course, if, like Myrtle said, listen to yourself. You tend to know when it's time to go, but when we doubt ourselves, really trust that gut feeling. It's gonna guide you in the right direction every time.
Another thing I look for, Jillian, that raises a red flag for me is if your doctor can't explain your condition to you in terms that you can understand. I appreciate all the big education and all the great training, but at the end of the day, if you can't explain to me what's happening to me in a way that I can understand, despite the fact that I've asked you a couple of different times, that to me is a sign that you may not be the right guy for me. Because you need to be able to understand to be a great partner in your care. So I think that's very important. At the same time, I also get concerned if a doctor doesn't like it when you ask questions. You know, the one that's trying to push you out the door.
Yep.
Too busy. Bigger things to do.
Yes.
More important people to see. If you start to get that feeling with your physician, I would say find somebody else that matches up better with you and who can give you the time and the respect and the consideration that you need when you're there because you need them to listen to you.
Right.
Yes. If you also find yourself on a consistent basis sitting in the doctor's office, while once again the doctor's running late, I that wouldn't work for me.
That's very interesting that you say that. We had a debate about this on The Doctors, the show The Doctors, and you know, they were saying, well, you have to understand I deliver babies, or you have to understand I'm an ER surgeon. So there are things going on behind the scenes that are part of their job that we're not aware of. But when it becomes obviously something that is a routine for this doctor,
exactly,
you should go.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Jillian. I'm not talking about the exception. I remember I was with my father at a major university medical center last year, and we were waiting for his surgeon. And I remember looking over, and we had waited for 6 hours.
Oh, my gosh. I would kill
someone. I remember
looking
over and having my mother be completely, utterly frustrated. And I said two things to her. I said, number one, is this routine and is this habitual? And the answer was no.
Okay.
And the next thing I said to her was, obviously, there's another patient that needed the doctor today. And let's hope that someone would be as gracious as we're going to be right now in the moment if Daddy were in that situation and he needed the surgeon and somebody else had to wait. So, well, I'm not talking about an everyday occurrence. I'm talking about it's your family physician. It's your internal medicine guy.
Right. I get it.
And every time you go in for your appointment,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're left sitting there for 3 hours with a packed room of other people, or you're by yourself and the room is empty. So babies, you know, doctors delivering babies are one thing, surgeons are something else, but even surgeons have a pretty good sense of how long things are going to take, when they're going to show up, and they're very respectful about staying in communication with you so that you know what's going on.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because that is very fundamental. Respect. It's like, I'm here, I'm in your office, I'm a paying client. I don't want to sit here. I get real bitchy about things like that, though, but I'm not an incredibly patient woman, which I think everyone knows. So I speak up. I'm the one going, look, how much longer is it going to be? Because I have somewhere to be. And by the way, I do have somewhere to be. I'm usually scheduled back to back to back. So I set that precedent with them, and I call and I say, when I come in, I need to be seen within that time frame, give or take 30 minutes. And if not, I got to go elsewhere. So, yeah,
well,
you know,
I mean,
you're right.
We've got jobs. People have kids to pick up from school.
Yeah.
Parents who need to pick up from elder care. So our lives do go on. And a lot of us don't have backup systems. We don't have another person to call if we're sitting in a physician's office.
Yeah.
The other thing, though, I always advise is get the first appointment of the day if you can, because if the doctor is going to get backed up, I guarantee you it is going to be three times worse at 2 o'clock in the afternoon than it is at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock in the morning.
That's true.
Right? So I always try to get the earliest appointment. And if I really am in a situation where I am dealing, for example, with a surgeon that is only doing surgery, you know, he's got seven of them lined up and I've got a family member and I'm lined up as number five, I do my best to bring my work with me and set the expectations for people who are going to be waiting for me. But my real issue is the general practitioner, internal medicine, your primary care doctor,
okay,
whose office is just a chaotic mess, right?
Right?
If you can't reliably go in and get the care that you need within a reasonable amount of time, relative to the appointment that you set, I want the people in our community, Jillian, to have better care than that.
Yeah,
I know it's out there. So I'd like to see people think about changing. And then lastly, there's a great big umbrella that I call, I'm just not comfortable. Sometimes you don't know why. Maybe it's because every time you go in, you know, the accounting people are so rude with how they talk to you about your bill and when you're going to get paid. Or maybe it's that when you're trying to make an appointment, when people are supposed to call you back, they just don't.
Yeah.
Or maybe, you know, maybe everybody's as nice as they can be, but you just don't feel great.
Right.
Right? Something just doesn't feel right. Find somebody new. There are plenty of wonderful doctors out there.
That's absolutely true. Absolutely true. Now, you have as prescription number three, are you a good boss?
Well, yeah. So I can, you know, it's really easy for me to give my perspective on how I want to see the medical community treat and admire and care for consumers. But I also know that as consumers, we have our job and we have our responsibility. You know, for example, do you show up at your appointment prepared? And what I mean by prepared, do you have your medical history with you?
Right.
We've done a session on medical history. Have you brought a copy of a list of all the medications that you're on and the dosage and the strength?
Yeah.
Do you know whether or not you got your flu shot this season or not? Do you have your insurance card with you so the staff is not shuffling through files and kind of making you feel bad as you're standing at the counter as a person who's talking about financial stuff,
yeah,
in front of everybody else. So being prepared is really important. The other thing I really suggest is that not only do you try to be on time, work really hard to be on time. We just talked about doctors being on time with us.
Yeah.
But if you are sick enough, you don't need to be going to a doctor's office by yourself. When I was my sickest, Jillian, I couldn't even write a check. If I couldn't write a check because I didn't have the mental faculties to write a check, I had no business driving, for one, A, let's start there, but B, I certainly couldn't sit in a physician's office hearing back all this complex medical stuff with the instructions and the medications and what to do if. I couldn't have captured all that correctly. So I really made a practice to take a friend with me or a family member with me. and it's your responsibility. You know, the doctor's not going to send in a note taker for you.
Right.
During college, right?
Right.
You've got to do your part. But probably even more important than all of that is you have to be truthful with your physician. Now, my girlfriends and I often joke about, you know, who tells the doctor the truth about how much wine we drink in a week? And we're joking about it. Right? But the fact of the matter is that when you're not straight up with your physician about whatever you're doing, whether it be your consumption of alcohol, how much you do or don't exercise, whether or not you're smoking a little or a lot,
yeah,
whether or not you're using protection,
right,
when you're sexually active,
yeah,
or whether or not you're using recreational drugs. You know, the doctor's not asking you this because he's trying to judge you. The doctor's asking you this because if he doesn't have all the facts, he can't help you in the best way he possibly can.
Yeah.
So, you know, doctors understand the importance of confidentiality. Now, if there's ever a place where you have to be truthful, it's right there behind those closed doors with that doctor.
So many people are afraid of that because they're worried about being judged, and they're worried it'll create pre-existing conditions. Or I think also listen to Myrtle. They are required to be confidential with your personal information. So it could even be life-threatening if you're taking something. Or you're on something and they give you a certain medication, the complications between those two things could be life-threatening. So what she's saying right now, you guys, you have to listen. It's so, so important.
Absolutely. And then let's just say, Jillian, and this is prescription number 4, you get to the point, you've given it a lot of careful thought, you've given it a lot of consideration, and you've decided that you do want to part ways with your doctor. Prescription number 4 is know the right way to part ways with your doctor. You know, I have a personal philosophy, and that is that I can tell a great deal about a person based on how they begin a relationship and how they end a relationship. Right?
Yeah.
Me personally, that is very insightful and speaks to the character of the person.
Yeah.
And so whether or not that's right or wrong, I'm just telling you me, I might have to end something, but it's going to be ended right. And we're going to have a nice bow on it. And everybody's going to be able to walk away, go forward, and get on with their lives without a lot of acrimony and stuff we're leaving in the background. So I really do believe that, number one, before you make a change, make sure you find another doctor first. Don't be in a situation where you've decided you're going to fire your doctor when you don't have a new one yet.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Be prepared and find yourself a new doctor. And then send your doctor a letter that's really simple. It's really simple. I'm moving my care to a new physician. The name is this name, this address. Please forward a copy of all of my medical records. Plain and simple. You don't have to explain why. You don't have to explain anything else except for effective this date.
Yeah, and you shouldn't really engage in a pissing match. I don't think it needs to become a game of, like, you did this and you did that. They're not your parents. Don't get caught up in that sort of projection.
That's
exactly
right.
Yeah.
Exactly right. You wouldn't give that. You wouldn't give all that drama to finding a new plumber or going to a new mechanic.
Yeah. No. You're absolutely right. No.
So, and I also believe, Jillian, 99% of the people wake up every day fully intending to do a good job. Right. Every once in a while, we get into a situation where either someone is over their head and doesn't know what they're doing, or they're just disorganized, can't get their act together, or they're just not making progress with you, but they may be doing beautifully with someone else. That's okay.
Yeah.
Just have some grace, be respectful, be polite, because you never know when you might need that physician again, or you might have a partner or a spouse who's still with that physician.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Just because it wasn't right for you doesn't mean it's not working beautifully for one of your other family members. So, I think there's a place for drama and really getting up and thrashing about and getting in people's places, but I really try to be strategic with that. And the simple change of a doctor is not one of them. The only exception I will say is if you believe that you have a cause for malpractice.
Right.
In that case, you're still not talking to the doctor. You're still not talking to the doctor. If you really believe you have a case for malpractice, you found an attorney.
Right.
And you're letting the attorney do all the talking that's going to be done for you.
That's right. That's the number one thing they advise you not to do is to stop communicating with it. That's completely right. Okay. And number five is, I think the most important is know who to hire.
Yes, know who to hire. You know, it's just like whenever you're choosing a doctor is like making a purchase, whether it's buying a new car or, you know, buying a new sweater because it's winter time and the seasons are changing. Make a wish list. If it's important for you to have someone who's really kind and has a very gentle bedside manner, put that on the list. If it's really important to you to have someone who is at the top, the very, very top in their field because your situation is just that difficult, put it on the list. Get referrals from people you respect. And there are many places to get information from doctors on. Call the local hospital. Talk to the nurses in the hospital. You'd be surprised what people will tell you. But be careful of the Internet, though. The Internet's full of great information, but sometimes people pay to have their information on the Internet. I know a lot of physicians don't like referral and judging services like a Yelp. Some physicians don't care at all. Mm. All I'm saying is just get out there, gather your information, but make your needs known, make your list, and don't be shy about trying to meet with a doctor ahead of time before making a choice, to meet them face-to-face to see if you believe this is someone you can work with.
We should do that with everything, to be honest. Make a wish list of what we want in a spouse, what we want in a job.
Make a list, man.
Yeah, it's actually a great piece of universal advice, as well as, of course, when it comes to choosing your doctor.
People don't go into the medical profession anymore because they think they're going to get wealthy.
Yeah.
Right? People go into the medical profession because they really genuinely want to help people. They really do find their life calling in service, in serving patients and healing patients and making people better. So go back to that, the list of things that we talked about when I said know when it's time to go, and just reflect on it.
Thank you so much, buddy. And where can people reach you so they can get better educated or utilize your services?
My stuff can be found at www.myrtlepotter.com. And I've got an ebook on that site, free of charge. You can download this ebook as well as any other ebook, free of charge. In addition to that, you can see me on Accent Health Closed Network Television, which is a television network that is shown all across the country in doctors' offices, and you'll soon see me on everydayhealth.com.
Thank you so much, pal. It was wonderful talking to you as always, and we really appreciate the advice.
Thank you, Jillian. Best wishes for best health. Bye, Janice.
Bye, Myrtle.
Oh, she's so smart. Yeah. I love her.
We got time for a call, but we should give out the number. We give out the number just to remind people. It's not that you can call right this second.
No.
But we should remind people of the number.
Well, if you're listening to the podcast and you decide that you have a call and a question for Janice and Jillian, you can dial toll free.
No,
the peanut gallery chimes in. You can call toll free anytime. 888-950-6611. It's totally confidential and personal for our ears only.
Yeah,
we won't get back to you until we do another show. So if a week goes by or 2 weeks go by, know that we tape every 4 weeks. So leave your question and we'll get back to you.
All right, are we ready for calls? Yeah, okay, we'll take a quick break and come back and take a call. I've been feeling real good. Came a long way from misunderstood. Far away from the days where I wouldn't want to go home because I was afraid of the truth. See, I was scared to admit the feeling was in the back of my head. Because the point where I no longer work, so you have to stand up for how you want to live. Tonight is the night that we're losing control. Okay. Okay, we are back and we got time. Yunetta is waiting for you.
We've got our call. I won one call. Yunetta, I get one call on this podcast because we're running over and you're it.
Oh no! That means I'm gonna have to like cut it short, huh?
No, just be focused. Because Janice is in a panic and she's gonna whip out her hickory stick if we go over X amount of time. So I'll shut up. What is your question?
Okay, my question is: I'm an African American woman, and I'm just starting to see your podcast and everything. So I'm trying to get more active into healthy eating, living, and everything.
Okay.
So, looking at the BMI index, when I saw those numbers, I was like, for real? Because, I'm really short. So according to my height, if I lose that much weight or if I get down that small, I'm going to look like a crackhead. And I want to be healthy. And no offense to, like, people who practice crackheadism or whatever, but I'm not trying to look like a crackhead.
Crackheadism. What are you? Yeah. I'm a crackheadist. Yes, that's my personal belief system. Okay, buddy, let's talk about this. We're going to talk about this on a couple different fronts. First, I'm going to attack the body mass index. The body mass index is an antiquated tool. The reality is that there is no accounting for body composition. When it comes to body mass, it only takes into account the actual size of your body. But if you were to utilize body mass, Arnold Schwarzenegger would have been obese back in the day.
Okay.
So I really hate the body mass index. One of the tools that I like is called the waist to hip ratio. And all you have to do, here's the reality. You would measure your hips at their widest point. And you measure your waist at its most narrow point. And then you would Google waist to hip ratio calculator. And you simply enter in those inches, the one for your waist and the one for your hips. And it's going to give you a number. Now, this is really a number that tells you how obese you are or how much more work you need to do to get into shape. Because if your waist is a bigger number than your hips, it's really going to imply that you're obese or you're overweight and you need to lose weight for your overall health and what have you. So in a perfect world, our hips would be bigger than our waist. Okay. And here are the numbers that you want to look out for. So you're going to enter in your information and it's going to spit back a number. Now, for men, you really want to be 0.95 or below. For women, you want to be 0.80 or below. That's low risk. That means you're pretty healthy. Okay. Anything 0.96 to 10 for men or 0.81 to 85 for women is middle of the road. And high risk for guys is anything 1.0 and up. And for women, 0.85 and up. So I like that waist to hip. You can find it online. It's real simple. And it's going to give you a pretty good indication of if you should continue to lose or not. But the reality is this. This is also going to come down to common sense here. You know when you look in the mirror if you're healthy or you're not healthy. You know, if you're looking unhealthy, if you're feeling unhealthy. If you start talking about vanity pounds to fit into jeans, that's a totally different conversation. But other numbers I want you to look out for, get your cholesterol checked. Those are the kinds of numbers I care about. Get your blood pressure checked. You know, if your blood pressure is good, if your cholesterol is good, if your blood sugar number is good, if all those numbers are good, that's a real good sign. That's going to tell us a lot about your heart health and diabetes and all of this stuff. So the rest of it comes down to a matter of aesthetics. I'm going to say this. If you really need a number on weight, just weight, not health, go waist to hip over BMI. But if you want a number that's going to determine your health, do those numbers with your doctor of cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar. Get a checkup from your doctor and have him check all that stuff. And then use your common sense and look in the mirror and say, you know what? I feel good. I feel healthy. I'm eating right. I'm working out. Don't allow some external number to dictate to you your value, your self-worth, where you should be with your physical health. That kind of stuff is dangerous. Unless, of course, like I said, it has to do with cholesterol and all that. Those are numbers I need you to pay attention to.
Right. And see, for me, all of that is fine, cholesterol, everything. But I know with my weight, if I don't, like, tackle it now, it's going to develop into a problem, you know, the older I get. So
sure.
That makes me feel better. I felt like it was just stopping me from even really trying, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, because it felt impossible.
Yeah,
no, that's a real dangerous game that we can play when we try to live up to an external standard, whether it's another person and how much they weigh or how quickly they're losing weight, or whether it's this generalized number. That's comparisons like that only set you up to feel like crap about yourself, intimidate and overwhelm you. I need you to focus on being the best Yunetta that you can be, getting your numbers to a healthy range, getting your confidence up, helping you have more energy, and getting your health numbers. This is a strange term, but going to your doctor and getting those real numbers of cholesterol and blood pressure in the right zone. That's what I want you to focus on. And it doesn't need to be something overwhelming. Just literally start putting that one foot in front of the other. Start by doing something like cutting out sodas, or committing to go for a walk for 30 minutes, 5 days a week, or joining an online community for a support group to help you have a buddy system and stay on track with your eating. It could be anything that you do to just make your life and your health a little bit better every day. Because the reality is, as cliche as it sounds, these small little things over time, they equal big results. And even if you're eating right and you're working out and the scale's not flying in a downward spiral the way you want, you know, you're not dropping massive amounts of pounds quickly, the reality here is you're not gaining weight anymore. You're not continuing to harm or damage your body or your health. And give it time for those small changes to take effect. It took a long time to get unhealthy. It's going to take some time to get healthy. You got nothing but time. Stay focused and be positive, and don't compare yourself to anybody or anything.
Not even a crackhead.
No, not a crackhead, buddy.
Okay.
No. No.
You sound so disappointed.
Yeah, no crackheads. We're gonna leave all the crackheads out of the mix. Yeah.
So can I? I know you only had enough time, a little time. I don't know if you have time for a little small question.
Breathe, Janice.
The tiniest, littlest, smallest.
Okay, so how do I like self-motivate? How do I motivate myself? I got your book, Unlimited. I'm on like the Say a Little Prayer section, so I'm not that far into it yet.
Right.
But I feel like that's part of my issue, too, is just like actually getting up and actually doing something.
It.
Yeah, it's like...
Motivation is something that's actually so simple to find, and yet it seems so elusive. And it's because we're all looking externally for that motivation, whether it's a picture of our favorite celebrity's body or, you know, the song that makes us want to get up and jog. And these things are fine. You know, I mean, I've definitely had a picture of when I was a kid. I had, you know, Madonna's picture or Linda Hamilton from Terminator. I was like, I want to be strong like that. I mean, sure, that's great. And the song that helps you run a little bit longer, a little bit faster, that's great. But the truth of the matter is, that lasting motivation has to come from inside of you. And so the real question, here's your motivation. Yunetta, why do you want to be healthier?
Mm-hmm.
Answer it for me.
I want to live longer.
Why?
I want to, so that I can be around for my daughter.
Okay.
I want to look good in my clothes.
You want to feel confident? Okay.
Yeah, I want to feel good about myself. I want to be able to just, you know, not feel limited. And be able to be active and do things. And
okay.
I know it's good.
I need you to write all of that down in as detailed of a way as you possibly can. And that you need to put on the desktop of your computer, on the dashboard of your car, on the door of your refrigerator. Because the truth of the matter is, if you have that why to fight for, then you can tolerate any how. So if you don't want to go for a 30-minute walk, look at your list and ask yourself, is my daughter worth it? Is my confidence worth it? Is, you know, are all of these things on your list, are they worth the 30-minute walk?
Right.
And I guarantee the walk might not be fun while you're doing it, but the reality is that when it's over, you're going to feel great. And you just got to constantly remind yourself of why you want to be healthy. What is it that you are fighting for? What is it that you deserve? And then you've got to take those little actions and allow those little successes to constantly marinate and literally take root inside of you so that you know, okay, I got this far. I can do this. I have this accomplishment under my belt. I'm ready to take that on. It's those little accomplishments from this type of motivation that essentially teach you what your capabilities are and what your potential is and give you a positive reality and outcome that you can believe in. So you go, you know, I lost 5 pounds. Oh my gosh, I can actually do this. But when you look for that motivation, I need you to write that stuff down. That's your motivation. And I can't think of anything else that could be more important than those things.
Right.
Nothing could be more important than those things. So focus on that and allow that to get you up and get you moving.
Okay. Thank you so much.
That's my pleasure.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy. Have a great day. And if you run into any of those crackheadist type people, you go the other way.
Go the other way.
Walk the other direction.
Thank you, Jillian. You guys are awesome.
Bye. Talk to you
say
later.
Thank you, Zoe.
Thank you.
Oh! You're welcome.
Yeah, I told her. I said, the lady on the DVD that Mommy does in the morning, she's going to call me. She's like, no, that's awesome.
How old?
Yeah, she's always watching the DVD telling me I'm doing the stuff wrong.
Oh my gosh. How old is she?
She's 6.
Oh, wait. Put her on the phone. What's her name?
Her name is Zoe.
Zoe. Oh, good name. Put Zoe on for a second.
Hold on. She wants to talk to you. Hold on.
Hey, Zoe. What's up?
I'm doing good.
You're doing
one
good.
One day I did the exercises, and then one day my neck started hurting, and now my back is hurting.
Zoe, you're too young to be saying these things to me. You're a 6-year-old. You're telling me your back is hurting?
My back is hurting, and one day my neck was hurting.
Buddy, you're not exactly helping me sell my product here. What are you doing to me right now? I can't. All right, let's make a deal, okay?
Okay.
Okay, I need you to motivate Mom. So I know the back is hurting. I know the neck is hurting. But can you really fill those lungs with air? And when your mom starts doing those exercise DVDs, can you say, go, Mom, go?
Yeah.
Okay, try it. Ready? Let me hear you say. Zoe, you've got a future in this. I'm very impressed.
Thank you.
Zoe, I'm super impressed. Well done. You get up in Mom's face for me like that, and I can't wait to hear how it goes, Yunetta.
Yeah, I'm sure she's going to make sure I do it.
Oh, funny.
You guys are awesome. Thank you. Keep up the good work. God bless y'all.
Thanks, God buddy. God bless you, too.
And I look forward to hearing you on the podcast.
Have a great day.
You too.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
How about the set of pipes on that kid? Go, Mom! I mean, she puts me to shame. Holy
perschlugina. I'm sorry, but my back's a little sore.
My back is hurting. My neck is hurting. I'm like, oh no.
Oh, yeah.
My business partner's going to love that. He's going to love that stellar review of the exercise DVDs. I'm a 6-year-old and I'm injured.
Exactly.
Super. That's a lawsuit waiting to happen right there. That's going to hit TMZ. 6-year-old Zoe sues Michaels for injury via exercise DVDs after verbally abusing her mother, instructed by Michaels to scream, go, Mom, go, at the top of her lungs. All right. Well, before we give anybody else any ideas, maybe we should end the
podcast. You got to say goodbye.
Woo. I will, actually.
Okay. Bye-bye. No, that was me saying bye-bye.
That was you. That wasn't me.
Okay, now you.
Okay, bye.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world.
closing time. Turn all of the lights on over every boy and every girl. Closing time. One last call for alcohol, so finish your whiskey or beer. Closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. I know who I want to take me home. I know.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.